Tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by DraftKings. Your season-long fantasy football team might be more screwed than the Angkor tribe, but that doesn't mean that you can't be winning this season when you play one-week fantasy football at DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. Got injured players? No problem. It's a new season every week, and you won't be stuck with the same players. You'll be switching things up like it's some sort of three-tribe swap because DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season. So turn your love of football into the payday of a lifetime because this isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings.com. Welcome to the big time. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code ROB and play for free with your first deposit for this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest where first place takes home 100 grand. Enter ROB for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Though Steven is not around, we still have to break it down. Like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. Survivor Know-It-Alls is back here live for episode number 3 of Survivor Cambodia here October 7th, 2015 after PG gets voted out of the tribe. And here I am to talk about it. A man who with a heavy heart tonight is with us, Josh Wiggler. Josh.
How do I podcast with a broken heart? How do I do this?
It's happened many, many times.
I know, pretty much every time I podcast. I'm just a constantly brokenhearted man.
Oh, my goodness. But what an episode tonight. Tribe swap. What do we call this? A tribe dissolve? A tribe addition?
I've heard tribe expansion.
Expansion?
I like that. That seems very physical.
I don't know if I like that.
You don't like that? The expansion's no good.
Yeah. What's that called, like, when a cell splits? What's that?
A cell split?
I don't know.
Yeah, someone will come up with something really good in a day or two.
All right. Well, anyway, so we're going to talk about our three tribes now here in Survivor Cambodia. So fun episode tonight. A lot of drama. We'll try to figure out what the hell was going on with Jeff Varner and what signal he was trying to send to Kelly Wigglesworth and why he needed to send a signal to Kelly Wigglesworth. I have no idea what was going on there. And we'll talk about what went wrong for PG as Andrew and Tasha have a great night able to turn things around on this new, what's this new tribe called? Angkor?
Angkor, as in Angkor Wat, one of the temples in Cambodia.
Okay, there you go. And so a lot to talk about here in tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls Live. Of course, we are here. We got the chat room open here on robswebsite.com. We're also going to be taking your tweets later on in this show. That is hashtag RHAP. And then again, on our YouTube channel, robswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, Josh and I will both speak with PG tomorrow morning. My exit interview will be here on robhasawebsite.com. Josh's exit interview will be on parade.com.
Yeah, you can go robhasawebsite.com/parades, the easy link. And it'll just be a transcript of me crying and PG trying to console me, I think.
Yes. Many people are telling me a cell splitting is mitosis.
Mitosis?
Like, tribe mitosis?
That's a great name for the merge tribe.
Mitosis. Yeah, that would be good. That should be the name of the third tribe is mitosis.
Yeah. Good.
Mitosis wins.
Wins the immunity.
Yeah. And then, of course, tomorrow we'll do our big recap podcast. Denise Stapley is going to be joining me. And boy, I have so many Abby Maria questions for her.
Oh, this is good timing for Denise. Somebody who has been in the three tribe scenario before. Someone who has a lot of experience with Abby Maria. Has been in a position of being at the bottom when she is swapped over and has somehow survived that situation. So lots to talk about with Denise.
It's a good spot for Denise. Good spot for Denise. And voicemails with Antonio Mazar. Get your voicemails in tonight. And of course, you know how to do that. robswebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. All right, Josh, let's get into this and talk about it. So, boy, how surprised were you that ultimately PG was the person voted out and not Abby Maria.
I mean, I'm more surprised that PG or Abby Maria were on the table and it wasn't Varner. How the hell did Varner get himself out of this jam? Varner is the person that everyone is feeling, you know, all of the people from Takeo who have come over here to anchor with him. Everyone is feeling very weary of him because of everything that he's done on the mat. And somehow he's not even, as he says, the tribal council. Like, how great would it be if I didn't even get one vote tonight?
Yeah, he's really ballsy at these tribal councils.
He's pretty balls to the wall. It's the way he's playing. It's how he described it. So that's my question to you, Rob. How is Varner not on the list tonight? How is he not even in the conversation at the end of the day?
Well, I feel like the story for Jeff Varner all season long, from the preseason, we said, boy, Jeff Varner is playing this game hard. He's been going, you know, 1,000 miles per hour since the pregame with pregame alliances. He got to the beach and he's talking to everybody, and he switched from his pregame alliance on the first vote. Then he swapped back on the second vote. And now here he is with saying God knows what to Kelly Wigglesworth. And somehow he's able to do it. And I felt like, okay, well, tonight's maybe the night when playing so hard catches up to him. But somehow he's able to sweet talk his way out of it. And so ultimately, we have a lot to figure out here in the next 7 days about just exactly how Jeff Varner was able to get off of the block. Was he able to basically throw himself at the mercy of both Andrew and Tasha and say, like, I would love to work with you guys? Or was it just that they felt like PG was the bigger threat?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we see this in this blow up on the mat that Varner says to Savage and Tasha, like, I still have a thing with you guys. I still have a thing with you guys. So clearly there was some, you know, deal in place between Varner and these newcomers to Anchor. Jeff Varner, as we have come to know, is a guy who likes to have, for a guy who hates peanut butter, he likes to have his hands in as many peanut butter jars as he can. He likes to be in good with every single person that he's out there on the beach. He likes to have options with everybody. And I don't know. I really thought it was going to blow up in his face. I thought that this was going to be the night for Jeff Varner, which would have been a real about face from what you and I were talking about at the Live Know-It-Alls last week in New York. I asked you, is Varner becoming too threatening? You know, this pace that he is setting and the way that he's just coming after people and swinging from alliance to alliance this early on. Is this too scary? Is this too far too fast? And I believe your quote was, I think Jeff Varner's in a great position right now.
He was in a great position at the old Takeo tribe, but now.
Totally.
Not so much. Can we just try to brainstorm what on earth could Jeff have been trying to signal to Kelly? Is there any reason why he would have? It's not like she has the idol or anything like that. What on earth could he be trying to find out from her?
Yeah, and it's not even a situation where Bayon had lost and Varner is trying to tell Kelly, like, go to those people, stick with them, they'll keep you safe. What is the reason for him to be doing, you know, any sort of strategic crosstalk with her right now? I've looked at it. I've seen some people on Twitter who are saying that he said something to the effect of go to Kimmy and Monica. Kimmy, as we know from pregame interviews, is somebody that Varner was feeling good about. Monica is somebody he was feeling okay about. That seems to be what he said. But on the show, the content of what he was saying did not seem to be that big of a deal.
You know, it's almost like when we talked about this when you and I rewatched Vanuatu about a year ago around.
You remember anything about that? That's better than me.
But it's almost like if this was before the challenge, you kind of understand why that might happen, where you have a Bubba situation. Right. Of, hey, think about the merge. And it might almost make sense if Kelly was saying to Jeff, like, hey, stick with the people from Takeo. But it makes no sense why Jeff would want to signal something to Kelly after he's in the situation where he needs to vote her. Like, is he asking her, Kelly, of all people? Like, you feel like that Jeff is such a wheeler and dealer. Why would he be looking for help? Like, it's the Price is Right. Like, what should I bid? Six? Seven? and then they should go ahead and try to figure out, you know, who they're going to vote for.
Right. Do you think that he was just being like, Kelly, I miss you?
I doubt that that was the case.
I hope you're doing well over there. I hope everything's good.
I mean, he's a sensitive guy, but I don't think that that was necessarily the case. What did you think about Tasha sort of like jumping up into the line of fire and saying like, oh, whoa, whoa, hey, and you can't, no looking over here.
That's called screening, right? That's a screening.
Screening?
Is that right?
Like,
is that
like they're showing a movie on her and then that she's blocking, she's opaque.
Yeah, she just jumped right in the middle there. It was really... intense and aggressive for somebody who is numerically at the bottom of Angkor, if you're just looking at it based on where tribal lines were. It's her and Savage, they're the two, and then there's four people from Takeo, and she's making this bold move to hop in the way of Varner and Wigglesworth's line of eyesight. It was a ballsy move for somebody who should be on the bottom, and maybe it's just a testament to the fact that she was feeling really good about her position already.
You know, I thought it was probably an overly aggressive move, because honestly, what are you going to stop them from saying? Like, unless you know the information that's being passed around, I think that was sort of a bold move for her that could have potentially backfired, but it doesn't on a night when I think that this was probably what we just saw was Tasha's best Survivor night through two seasons.
Really? Through two seasons?
Tell me her better moment.
Yeah.
Other than you saying, oh, well, she won immunity that night.
No, it was good. I mean, she was in a really difficult spot with the numbers. She really, by all rights, her, Savage, should have been going home tonight if we were just going by conventional wisdom. This is the only tribe where Takeo members have any sort of numbers majority. By all accounts, one of those two should have gone, and they didn't. And Tasha was a huge contributing force in that.
Think about back to Survivor Kagyan and the way that Tasha was described by Cass specifically at that point at the Spencer vote. She used words like wishy-washy, like,
right.
Cass, Tasha, just tell me the name. And she went back and forth. No wishy-washiness whatsoever tonight. In fact, she was describing PG in those terms.
Yeah. And she's, good on Tasha for being able to scoop Abby Maria right up under her wing. She was really working Abby Maria really hard in every scene that we saw in Angkor. She was Abby Maria's new best friend. This was a woman who was not afraid to run into the hurricane. She was all about Abby. A very impressive night from Tasha.
She was really good. Savage was good as well. But it was like between the two of them, they came into this tribe mitosis and decided that, you know, she was sort of like, hey, like, she kept it positive the whole time. And right. Savage was pretty like, chum.
My old tribe. Yeah, I thought, you know, he had this perfect life and nothing, everything was going well except for Pearl Island. And now he's got this tribe swap to complain
about. Yeah, he was almost haunted by this tribe mitosis.
Yeah, it really felt like as once the tribes were shaking out the way that they were and you were seeing who was on which tribe, Angkor just looked like they were in trouble. I mean, Bayon looks like a pretty strong tribe. Takeo is a really strong tribe in terms of challenges. And add to that the fact that Angkor has to start from scratch. It looked like Angkor was in a really bad spot to begin with. And it really did look like Savage just did not have the right attitude, where he's just like kicking rocks and pouting all over the beach and crying all over again. It looked like it was going to be a really bad night for Savage, but he turned it around.
He did come around. He did a really good job as well as Tasha. Co-fishy, perhaps, for them tonight.
Do you think so?
We'll see how that goes tomorrow when Steven's blog comes out. Do you think that Angkor is at too big of a disadvantage? Because it seems like in addition to having to start from scratch, they also have no food compared to the other two tribes. Is this basically where you and I also talked about this when we discussed Survivor Worlds Apart, which was the last season to have three tribes only a season ago, where that was the one season where we didn't have one of the three tribes just sort of bottom out. Like those three tribes were pretty evenly matched. Is Survivor looking for one tribe to be the buffoon tribe that's going to bottom out? And yes, it worked out where Abby Maria and PG went there and they had this pre-existing conflict. But do they want one tribe to be a disaster? Does that make for the best storytelling?
Well, I think that it's not a great idea if you want all three of these tribes to be competitive. No one ever said Survivor is fair. Angkor gets a really unlucky break with this being the circumstances that they're coming to a place where they have to build their shelter all over again. They've got no food supply and they've got challenge wise the weakest tribe, I think, pretty clearly. So that really sucks. I'm kind of bummed about it. Do you think that this is unfair for Angkor?
I definitely do. I think it's really at a disadvantage. I mean, don't you feel like it's, what, 80, 90% they're going back to tribal council next week?
Yeah. I think that they're in big, big trouble. And I feel like it would have been another story if, like, you know, they had to, if there was some sort of reward challenge at that swap meeting, you know, when the swap happens, when the mitosis happens, if there could have been some sort of reward for rice or food or something, at least give them an opportunity to get something. But to not even give them, you know, a thing of any kind of food, That really, really sucks. That's a real bummer. What would you have done? Do you think that you would have just loaded them up with rice?
I think you got to give them some food also, in addition to the supplies to build their shelter. And maybe we'll hear from PG tomorrow whether or not they actually had food at that beach or not. And we'll find out from there. But I just feel like the story we're going to be following up until whatever the next phase of the game is, whether it's the merge or whether it's some sort of a two-tribe, tribe swap, then I think that this is going to be the story we're following of what's next for the Angkor tribe. Okay, I feel like
how does that play out in your opinion? How does that play out? We see PG goes home. We see four people are on the right side of that. It's Varner and Abby have stuck together. They've swapped over with Savage and Tasha, at least for this vote. We've seen that loyalties are extremely flexible this season already, especially where Jeff Varner and Abby are concerned. Wu is the one person who is voting for Abby. Is Wu in big doo-doo, or is this going to go a different way? What do you think?
Not necessarily. I mean, I could see this going a lot of different ways. One, I could see Abby Maria being the next person to be taken out. And honestly, I thought for a moment that's where it was going. Well, hey, let's turn it around. Why don't we just vote out Abby Maria? Also, I could see Abby Maria deciding, hey, why would I vote with Andrew and Tasha? I barely know them. Why don't I go back with Varner and Wu? Right. And I also could see then it being either Wu or Varner going out next. So yeah. I really could see anything going on. I think it's going to be very unpredictable because Abby Maria is, I mean, it's forget Chaos Cast. It's Chaos Abby time.
It's Hurricane Abby season, you know, and she's going whichever way the wind blows spectacle. On any given day. It's spectacle. But we talked about this, the Abby bomb going off last week and how there's a radiation that hit Shireen, that it wasn't PG who got blown out in episode two when she was the one that was in the big fight with Abby. And now finally it's caught up with PG. So that bomb keeps going off and people are deciding rather than defuse the thing, let's just keep detonating it. People seem to really want to keep Abby around. And after a while, I mean, I don't know, is there just a point where it's too far to keep someone who's as volatile as Abby's seeming to be on this show?
I don't know. I mean, I think that by a couple of weeks, I mean, how many survivors are going to say that, boy, I wish we could go back to the first night and listen to Vetus. Why didn't we vote off Abby Maria when we had the chance? Because she, and then, you know, keeping her around, you reach a point where if she just makes it to the merge, who's coming after her then? Because then and we're not even at the point where people are starting to say, like, hey, what a great goat Abby Maria would be. Boy, I'd like to keep her around. And so we're still in the beginning part of the game. So she's just such a dangerous player because she's so inconsistent in what she's going to do from week to week to week.
Yeah.
She could be your best friend and she could turn on you in a heartbeat. So
yeah, but if she turns on you, you're dead.
You are dead.
You're dead to me.
You are dead.
To take it back to your original question.
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. To take it back to the original question, we got on to Varner, how it was surprising that Varner wasn't even in consideration. But it is between PG and Abby in the end. Why do you think Savage and Tasha, if they really are the people steering the ship, why do you think that they decide on PG ultimately?
I think that they probably felt like PG is the bigger threat and PG is the person who is more likely to rejoin back up with Takeo. I think that they are thinking about the merge and they're thinking about that Bion 5 that Savage set up with Jeremy and Joe and Keith and trying to keep that. And I think that they feel like PG is probably a bigger cog in whatever was going on at Takeo, where Abby Maria, from an emotional standpoint, seems like she is more spurned by those people and would be more likely to stick with them. But counting on Abby Maria as a number is so dangerous. Like it really, really is. So I understand the logic behind it, but it really is that they are not out of the woods yet. If people think that, okay, well, now Savage and Tasha, they have Abby Maria and they're good for next week. So it's going to be those three voting together. It's like maybe, but probably not.
Right. I know you'll have David Bloomberg on here at some point in the next few days talking about why PG lost the game. But what's your feeling? What do you think that PG did wrong, if you think that she did something wrong?
Well, it seems like the one flaw that we saw from the episode tonight. Well, I would say the two things. The one was that she went to Savage and to Tasha to go to say, hey, why don't we just vote out Abby Maria? And then again, Savage talked about, like, hey, I can't believe Varner gave us that ammunition. PG also gives them ammunition in terms of, you know, giving those two people on the bottom just that little bit to go to Abby Maria and say that. What did you think about this idea that I was thinking as in the closing minutes of the episode? What if They said, hey, let's just vote out Abby Maria tonight. If Varner, right. Wu, and PG said, hey, let's just vote out Abby Maria. Tell Abby Maria that they're still going to do, they're going to do that. And then ultimately just vote out Abby Maria. Now, again, they'd have to be like Abby Maria would be voting a different way. You couldn't let her vote with Tasha and Andrew. Could they?
So where are you telling her to throw her vote? Onto Varner? We're sticking with the Varner plan?
The Varner plan or, yeah, I mean, that's what it would have to be here.
You're looking to 3-2-1 this thing is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You love the 3-2-1.
I love the what's not to love in the 3-2-1? This is a great move.
I like that. I don't know where you get Abby to throw that vote to. She did seem eager to vote for Varner at some point.
Okay, or the other thing is, what if you don't tell Tasha and Savage until they don't have time to go and double back with Abby Maria and give right. and give her the smoking gun of, hey, just so you know, PG is saying to vote you out tonight.
Well, it seems like Varner was trying. I don't think that he went all the way with it. I don't think he went all the way on the gas. I think that he did at Tribal Council seem to be saying, like, we have given Savage and Tasha control over our tribe. It felt like he was trying to say, like, can we still do something about this without going all the way and saying it? So I wonder if his head is where your head is at now, if he was thinking along the same lines. Obviously, he did not go that way. But I feel like, you know, these four Takeos, they were the people who came into this tribe with the numbers, and it feels like it was the wrong foursome to hold it together. There was already so much friction with PG and Abby. Varner hadn't voted with Wu once before. Varner has proven himself to be so loosey goosey with these votes that I feel like that foursome, it's kind of mind-boggling to think about how they didn't stick together, but at the same time, it makes a lot of sense given the personalities.
Based on what we've seen over these first two episodes. I mean, how much do you think that PG is sitting here right now after these first two episodes when in two different times she had a choice of where to go with her vote? And both times she chose to go on the side with Abby, going back to that first vote where she could have voted with the old school people. She was right. She was on the fence, and her and Varner, who, to some degree end up getting burned by this, decide to vote with the shelter, with the beach people, with the new right. school people, and decide to keep Abby Maria around. And then last week, I mean, PG had less of a choice. That choice is mostly on Varner on which way to go. Because he's one of those people, he could have voted with the new school people and voted out either Wu or Kelly or Terry at that point. And he decides to bring Abby Maria in. He's one of those people that's like, I love Abby Maria. She turns me on. She turns me on.
Yeah. I think she turned him off tonight.
Turn off this week. Yeah. Turn off the Abby Maria. So it was real. You play with fire, and she is fire in this game, and you do it for long enough, you're gonna get burned.
She'll throw a coconut at your head. You know, like that's what's going on right now. You're dead. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better. I'm sure. I mean, I know that PG didn't want to go with that plan to vote for Vetus. I know that she was reluctant. I got to see her go up to the voting booth and say, I don't feel good about this. I tried to tell people this is not the way to go, but it's the way we're going. So let's do it. So I think that I would imagine that PG's got a lot of regrets. Very interested to pick her brain tomorrow.
You know what we saw tonight that I had missed?
What's that?
Wu blindside face. Whoa, no.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Got it wrong again. Got it wrong again. Wu, bummer, man.
Good.
Yeah. No, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad. Wu blindside face is great. It's a great face. It's a great look for the guy. So I'm glad that we got that at least, even if it was at the expense
poor
of my
Wu.
Lover.
Or Wu. I mean, Spencer gets all the credit. All like, oh, Spencer's Charlie Brown. Things never go his way. When did things go Wu's way?
Well, he got second place.
Well, he got second place when the choice was that he was going to get first place.
Yeah, so yeah, it doesn't really ever work out so well for Wu. I'm sure it works out well for him in life, but in Survivor, it's not great. It's not great. So that was an unfortunate night for Wu, who really thought that he was on the right side of this thing, and he once again is left in the dust. But I feel like Wu, I don't feel like it's lights out for Wu. Savage does seem to be the kind of guy who values tribe strength. Obviously, we've seen that from him in the past. Tasha has a connection with Wu. We see them hug it out. when they both get to the beach of Angkor. Maybe there's some workable relationship there. And frankly, if you're Savage and Tasha, I think that you want to woo and knock out either Varner or Abby next week, because they're both so volatile, and Varner clearly has loyalties to old Takeo that are now split apart these other tribes. So I feel like if you're Tasha and Savage, don't you think you want to go with Woo next? Like, bring him onto your side.
Sure, you'd like to keep Woo around because he's going to be a loyal guy. He's a Savage guy.
Yeah.
And he's somebody that would, you know, be, you could bring into that merge, and he would vote with those numbers. And while you're taking out the Stevens and the people who were the less trustworthy people, according to Andrew Savage, when you get to that point.
Right. Yeah. I think that he's got the dignity and the loyalty and the honor that Savage values in men.
Morality. Sure.
Morality. I think that's on the list as well.
All of those things. Okay. Let's talk about these other two tribes, because we spend so much time talking about the new Angkor tribe, and I think we're going to spend a lot of time talking
100th
about them.
Tribe in Survivor history, apparently, the Angkor tribe. Did you hear that?
What are they?
The 100th tribe in Survivor history.
Congratulations.
If you take the outcast step.
There you go. All right. Oh, Savage would love to.
I know he would.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and let's talk about these two other tribes that we have here tonight. We have the new Bion and the new Takeo. The new Takeo is now Joe, Terry, Keith, Cass, Sierra, and Kelly Wentworth. And the new Bion tribe is Spencer, Steven, Jeremy, Monica, Kelly, and Kimmy. So where do you want to start?
If you want to cool down from Angkor, I feel like you could go to Takeo, where things are not happening quite as much.
Okay. So, all right. So over on the new Takeo, we have a couple people who are from the original Bion tribe in, we have Joe, Keith, Cass, and Sierra, and Terry and Kelly are the only holdovers from old Takeo.
Right.
And while it is a numbers advantage for the old Bion people, Terry is feeling very good about this. Should Terry be freaking city, man?
Yeah,
Terry is pumped up to be in this this numbers disadvantage because he's with Joe.
He's with Joe. He says, "Hey, look around. There's like three or four first round draft picks over here." He's loving this tribe. He's a big fan of the new Takeo, even though he is down in the numbers. But I think what Terry sees is, "Oh, look at these people. No one's beating us in anything."
Nobody's going to beat them in anything, except that Kelly is trying to throw him under the bus.
I know. Yeah. I think it was Jessica Lise who said on Twitter that Wentworth is giving confessionals for the GIF, where she's doing that thing where she's just like kicking out and saying, "I'm going to kick Terry under the bus." That's definitely going to be a GIFable moment. But yeah, she's working it. I mean, she sees herself in a position where she's down in numbers. She's, you know, definitely one of the people who should be thought of as somebody to be taken out on Takeo if Takeo goes to tribal council. So Wentworth is doing what she can to throw Terry under that bus. Do you think it's too aggressive, too fast? Is that something that she shouldn't be worrying about so hard, so aggressively, until, you know, a worst case scenario where this tribe is going to tribal council?
Oh, no, she should be clearly worried. I mean, she was somebody who went out after a swap in Survivor San Juan del Sur, and it was a similar situation where she was in a good spot back on the original Hunapu tribe, and then she got switched to Coyopa. And so she needs to be thinking about that worst case scenario of what's going to happen. She doesn't want to have to play her
She got
idol.
Swap screwed. She doesn't want to get swap screwed again.
Right. And so, sure, she's making bonds with Sierra and with Cass, but that doesn't mean anything necessarily. And 100% that tribe is going to be getting rid of her over Terry if it comes down to it, because while she is good in the challenges, Terry is a legendary player in these challenges.
Sure.
And I think that the likes of Joe and Keith are not going to be keeping him around. Keith Nail has already voted Kelly Wentworth out of a tribe pre-merge in a season post-swap. He is apt to do it again. Honestly, he might have voted for Dale at that vote. I don't honestly know. But
yeah,
he was in those talks.
He was in on the plan. The good news for Wentworth is that she's got this idol that nobody in the game knows about. Nobody knows that Wentworth has it. And she is throwing, you know, she's throwing Terry under the bus just generally, but she's also specifically saying that Terry and Spencer were looking for idols like there was no tomorrow. These two people have been in the woods looking for this thing. I think that one of them, if anyone has it, it's one of those people that has it. So if these people are, you know, going to be coming after Kelly, if Takeo ever goes to tribal council, Wentworth's got that idol to flash. And I feel like if you're Kelly Wentworth and you're on this Takeo and you're going to tribal council, you're playing that thing. So I still feel okay about Kelly Wentworth. I don't know if I feel okay about the longevity of her idol, but you got to feel like Kelly Wentworth I don't think that she's going anywhere anytime soon, even on this tribe, even if she was the target, unless she misplays that thing. I feel like she's got to have some smart. She's got to know that she's going to have to play that thing if they go to tribal council.
Yeah, and they are a well-oiled machine right now. They did great in that challenge. I was so happy that Jeff called out that this was the first challenge from Survivor Kagyan. And, you know, I was saying, like, okay, this challenge looks familiar. Like, oh, it's the first challenge from Kagyan, because that was such a disaster for Luzon. Where basically their chest opens up and then the pieces were going everywhere and it was such a disaster. So good job for Cass and her team there. Anything else to talk about with Takeo? Because I want to jump into Bion.
Yeah, let's jump into Bion. I just really quickly, I feel like once again, Cass, things are looking good for Cass.
Yes, so far, great for Cass.
So many people thought Cass would be the first boot. She's playing well. She's doing good.
She's doing great. Beyond our wildest expectations so far for Cass. Okay, so over on Bion, it is a second chance, a new beginning for not only Spencer, but also Stephen Fishback. Look at him. Not in imminent danger for the first time in this game.
He already loved it at Bayonne Beach. He has a great secret scene from last week where he's calling it Shangri-La, and he loves the hammocks and everything. So he was having a good time in terms of just the beautiful Bayonne Beach, which is by far the better beach than Takeo, having been on both. And he loved that already. I feel like the people that he's still with from old Bayonne, from the original Bayonne, he seems like he likes those people. I think he's happy that Joe and Savage and Jeremy have been split up. Jeremy seems to be a guy that he likes a decent amount. Obviously, we know that Steven and Spencer are buddies from back home. So this might be really, really great news for Fishback.
Yeah, I think it was overall a good night. I did think it was interesting, though, that I felt like of the people that were in that tribe, and again, we only see, you know, 5 minutes of what's going on at this tribe. We saw Jeremy bonding with Spencer. And I feel like Jeremy had been talking about in the pregame that he wanted to target Spencer. I feel like it was
that residual Mr. Survivor bitterness that was going on between the two.
Yeah, you would have. But apparently they worked it all out. But I would have felt like for Steven's sake, I would have, rather have been seeing, you know, Jeremy and Steven talking more, because Steven talks about the idol. And I think this goes back to Token Sheens and what was going on in that season of the idol is for consensus building. The idol is for building unity. And that was the way that was used in that season in an interesting way, as we've talked about. But Steven was saying, hey, I want to find the idol for this group to tie us back together. And of course, what happens more often than not, which is one of the reasons I don't love that idea of, hey, let's find the idol as a group. I think it's one thing when you have the idol and then show it to people, but finding the idol as a group can be tricky because, as we know in Survivor, possession is, 99/100 of the law.
Right.
And what did Jeremy say when he found the clue? I found the clue to my idol.
Right.
My idol.
And there was no Dr. Jill Bame to be like our idol. Yeah. You know, there was no buddy. There was no buddy on the trail. And I think that that's the thing. If the idea is let's get an idol for consensus building, then I think you go back to the Boston Rob Redemption Island buddy system type of thing. I think you have to have at least one person tethered to another person as you're going out looking. Otherwise, this is what's going to happen.
Right. But just for Steven's sake, it would have been great, you know, to see Jeremy and Steven working in lockstep to see Spencer and I'm not saying that those things didn't happen, but it was just interesting of those three guys, the only pairing that we really saw in the episode was Jeremy and Spencer, which I feel like that those would be the least likely of those three people to have a pair. It feels like Steven is the connective tissue between those two guys. And for those guys to be talking, I didn't think that that was necessarily a great sign, but there's so much more than what we see in the episodes.
Yeah, what do you make of the fact that we didn't get like a one-on-one Steven Spencer scene? I thought immediately
I'm sure it happened. That I have I feel like of any of those people, I feel like that would be the best. That was the best case scenario for Steven to end up on a tribe with Spencer. Hopefully, they were just talking about stuff that was so nerdy they couldn't even put it in the show.
Fair enough. But what about Jeremy's decision to keep this thing to himself? He's going to go to the immunity challenge. He's not going to get anybody's help in terms of grabbing that idol on the course. Good move for Jeremy to keep this one completely in his pocket.
I mean, that's how I would play it. I think that was the way you do it. That's what Kelly did. I thought that was a successful way to go. It's, you don't have people talking about it. Nobody knew he had the clue. Nobody knew that he had the idol. And so I think that was really the smart way to do it for Jeremy. And he had
this whole method of getting the idols is unprecedented at this point. So who's really looking at you to be doing that stuff other than Kelly Wentworth across the course, but she's got her hands full with other stuff.
Yeah. What is it with these San Juan del Sur people with finding these idols? They're so good.
Yeah. Well, Keith is next, right? Keith's got to find an idol next.
Keith's got to find the next one, except that he's on.
Jump up and scare him a bit.
He's on the tribe with Kelly. So I don't know if he's going to find it anytime soon, but the women of Bayon, I mean, really nowhere to be found. Did we hear anything from Monica or Kelly or Kimmy?
No, not really. I mean, we got a mini Monica confessional, the first one in a while. Purple Monica, or I guess it's Magenta Monica, was speaking up this week a tiny, tiny bit. But we really didn't get much from her, and we didn't get much from either Kelly or Kimmy. And the fact that we didn't get much from Kelly, who is, again, is entering this situation. Takeo is down in the numbers on this tribe as well. It's her and Spencer from the old guard. The fact that there was no attention on her, I don't know, is that a good sign, you think, for Kelly Wigglesworth? You think that she's in okay shape right now?
I mean, it really feels like that she would probably be the person to go home if ultimately there was a tribal council, if the four Bayon people were going to stick together. I mean, it seems unlikely that they would ultimately turn on anybody. Maybe potentially Monica might be the person that you might be worried about, because Kelly is such a good person in these challenges. And then also Spencer is also really good on the challenges. And Monica was sort of on the outs. But it feels like that would be a mistake for them to target Steven, because you need the strength. And I know that people have a perception of Steven.
CrossFit.
I mean, Steven is not a zero in these challenges in the way that, I might be. So I think that Steven is probably an asset to this team. And it's not like that they have Joe on this team. They have Jeremy and they have Spencer. And Spencer certainly won his share of individual immunities in Survivor Kagyan. Jeremy looks the part, but he has not done great by his own admission in these challenges. So I think it would be foolish to get rid of Steven unless he really gives them reason to get rid of him.
Not for nothing. And I know that you say he has to make it past the fourth episode, but he has made it past the third tribal council.
He has made it, but okay. So just set the record straight. In Survivor All-Stars, I came in 14th place.
Okay.
So if Steven made it through tonight, he's in 17th place.
So he's got
a few more weeks to go.
Oh man, do you think he's going to be able to clear that, given the way things are right now?
I mean, the way things look right now, I feel like he's safe until whatever the next version of the game is. I feel like he's got some smooth, for the first time, I think he has smooth sailing ahead of him.
All right, so we're looking at 13th place for Fishback. That's what we want. We want to hit that at least if we want Steven to do better than Rob.
And then he has to become the greatest player according to ET Canada.
Okay, that's right.
And win five podcast awards.
I don't know if he's going to win those battles.
I don't know. So it could be tough.
What do you think of what do you think Jeremy's plans with Spencer are? Why do you think that he's courting the young lad the way that he is? What do you think that he sees in Spencer that's going to be valuable for him in the game?
I mean, I think he just thinks he's a nice kid who's a number. And for Jeremy, does he have other numbers? I mean, he needs people to be voting with him. I mean, he's doing a good job, just as good of a job with the social game as Spencer is. I think that Spencer is the one getting all the credit there in that scene. But good for Jeremy for taking him under his wing there. I mean, what does it hurt?
Yeah. Spencer on Twitter tonight clarified that he loves his girlfriend, by the way. So that
that was probably an awkward conversation.
Has been, but yeah, I wonder about that.
Awkward.
Yeah, that was tough. That was a tough night. Tough night for Spence.
Yeah. So that was that's a awkward conversation to have there.
On national television, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Although, they could say, well, I didn't say it then. I said it now after I came home. Yeah, of course. I was so stupid.
First thing he said when he got home, I love you.
Yeah. So I don't know. Again, you don't know what like with these like side conversations, you don't know what's in the episode and what's not in the episode. So it's always a little weird. It's like, oh, they're going to show that? Okay.
Yeah, to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, okay. All right. So anything else from tonight before we jump into some of these questions?
Well, how about just talking about the concept of tribe mitosis, just generally speaking? Do you think that this played out well? Do you think that this is good for the season? Or do you think that we were already in an interesting spot with Takeo versus Bayon?
No, I love this idea. I mean, this is something that we've talked about on the podcast for several years, dating back to the first ever Survivor Think Tank, which I recorded with Steven Fishback. In I believe it was either May or June of 2012. So this is an idea that has floated around for a while. I believe Steven was fond of the idea. I think he liked it, and it certainly comes
out. He loved it on the mat. Yeah, he's like, yes, this is great.
This is great. Yeah. So it's a fun concept. Let's see how it plays out. I think that my gut on how this is going to go is that I feel like the people who are not important parts of the tribe's immunity team, I think that those are the people that are going to have the biggest targets on their back right now. Not so much some of the strategic threats, but I think if you are somebody who is not an important part of winning challenges, I think that you are one of the people that could be going home in this part of the game. This is
so. Who are you looking at in terms of those types of people?
Well, if I was just going to single people out in terms of if I was not necessarily like looking at the or just in terms of looking at the tribe dynamics, I feel like the people that are in trouble. I feel like, I would say off the top of my head on Bion, I feel like Monica is in trouble here, but she at least has the numbers. And I feel like Kelly or Kimmy are probably also in trouble at this spot in the game. I think it really comes down to how good those people are feeling about them and what they're doing to contribute in the challenges. Obviously, Kelly is the person who is down in the numbers, but I think that in the challenges, I think she has a leg up on Monica or Kimmy. Those are the people.
Yeah. She's one of the strongest people out in the game.
That's one of the people that I'm keeping an eye on. I feel like at Takeo, I feel like it probably Kelly Wentworth is somebody that I would be keeping an eye on. I have a hard time believing that Terry is going to go. Keith is probably okay, but I would also be worried about I don't want to single out the women because I would definitely be one of the people that would be a huge target at this point in the game. But sure. I feel like that, for the people that are on the downside of the numbers, specifically Varner, I think is somebody also who is definitely has had his problems in the challenges. We saw him falling down a bunch last week in the challenges. I think that he could potentially be somebody to go. And I think Abby Maria is also a concern in this part of the game because of her challenge history.
Yeah, I think Angkor is going to be the tribe to watch. I feel like it's going to take a miracle for them to come second place in one of these challenges, given who they're up against. And if that's where we're going next, I mean, we've seen Varner work this season really aggressively, really hard. This is a tough jam. I wonder if he can get himself out of it. I hope he can, because he's been glorious, glorious, glorious television. And I want nothing more than for that guy to stick around for a long while.
Okay. All right, let's get into some of these questions here tonight, and let's get this fired up. And let's start off tonight with Carl Swanson, who says, why didn't they get rid of Abby Maria? She's the biggest wild card in this game. Get rid of the unknown.
Yeah, but I mean, Tasha and Savage didn't see that stuff. You know, they didn't see that stuff with their own eyes. They're starting to, you know, once the downpour sets and PG's like, oh, Abby, how are you so dry? And there's definitely a little bit of tension there that they're picking up on right away. But I think that Abby is the one who seems a little bit more emotionally, and I think a lot of bit more emotionally, you know, manipulatable. I think that she is somebody that they feel like they can lure her over. PG is a much more logic-based player. Maybe that's somebody who is going to look at the situation and realize, why are we giving Tasha and Savage all this power? Abby's not questioning it as much. So I think, again, I think it's you get rid of PG, who is smart enough to go with the right numbers and might not be as loyal to Savage and Tasha moving forward as someone like Abby.
And to me, I think this was just as much about the next vote as it was for this vote. If you do take out Abby Maria, the person that side would have wanted to get rid of, then there's every chance in the world that at that next vote, that Varner and Wu and PG contingent will stick together. And then vote out Andrew or Tasha at the next vote, where I think that there is a better chance. While Abby Maria still could flip, I think it was probably 100% that the Takeo 3 was going to stick together for that next vote. And I think it's probably, 50-50, 60-40, what Abby Maria is going to do next time.
Yeah, less certain now. All right, this is from Daniel Lindahl, who says, did Steven make the wrong call in the long run by trying to maintain something with Jeremy rather than flipping over with Monica and using Spencer and Wigglesworth to form a new strong four?
Well, this is a bit of a loaded question because we have no idea if Spencer and Monica have something going on. I mean, Monica could be tighter with Jeremy and Kimmy than she is with Steven. So It's hard to believe that necessarily that Steven can necessarily, you know, pick one person and go at, like, those are the kinds of things that are probably going to get him voted out by, like, looking like, boy, he's, you know, turning on Jeremy at this point in time. So I think that he was probably, I think it's, he needs to just sort of keep his feet under him for as long as he can. It's only day 8 in this game.
Yes.
No need to be making these huge moves in the game and really attracting more attention to himself. So I don't think that Steven needs to be doing that.
Yeah, I think in Steven's defense, you know, Steven has been painted with this brush by some of the people on his tribe as like he's the sneaky one. He's the one who only cares about idols, 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 strategy, strategy, strategy. But we've been seeing, and granted, Bayon hasn't been going to tribal council, so we haven't had the opportunity to see what that would look like. But we've seen so many people playing so aggressively right out the gate between, you know, Shireen going after Vetus and then it blowing back in Shireen's base. Now, PG is somebody who has suffered from that as well. So maybe it just makes sense for a guy like Steven right now to really play into this love tribe thing that's been going on at Bayon and to, you know, to kind of suck up to Jeremy a little bit. I feel like to show Jeremy, like, let's find that idol and let's get some team unity. I feel like that's got to earn him some social points with Jeremy, don't you think?
I think so. I think that you want to stay in good with Jeremy. I mean, Jeremy, going back to the premiere, was the guy who was open to working with Steven. Steven said to Andrew, hey, what about fish? And Andrew's like, no, we hate fish. I don't have a good feeling about fish. That's bad.
I don't have a good feeling about fish.
Yeah.
Bad feeling about fish.
Okay, let's take this question. This is from the basketball boss who says, was there something missing in the edit tonight? All in about 30 seconds, the vote jumped from Jeff to Abby to PG, all of which were in the majority alliance. Was it just Survivor that the vote was able to change so quickly, or was there more that we didn't see? Of course, there's always more that we didn't see. This is probably
There's about three days worth of material we didn't see.
But even after Tribal Council, there's hours of stuff going on back at that beach, and you know we're really shortening it down to like 3 or 4 minutes.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was a complicated story. There's a lot of complicated stuff that's going on in terms of the moves. You know, alliances are shifting overnight, as people said, like a lot can change in a night. A lot can change in 24 hours. A 2-hour conversation between Terry Dietz and Abby Maria can get Shireen voted out of the game. A lot is changing. A lot's happening really fast this season specifically, that I feel like it is a little bit hard to tell that in a streamlined way, especially now that we have three tribes. There's a lot of storytelling to service. So it was a lightning paced episode, and it was definitely hard to play along with at certain points, but it was wildly entertaining. Big fan of this episode. That was great.
Okay, what about Jaden James?
Yeah, this is from Jaden James, who says, why is Savage such a Debbie Downer all the time? You're back on Survivor. Lighten up.
I think that's a little unfair. I think that he was certainly a Debbie Downer about the tribe swap, but he did seem to perk up at the point where it looked like things were starting to go his way. So I think that he turned it around. In the previews for next week, he's complaining about what's going on again. But
right, but you know we're giving Varner some crap, and I think deservedly for his outburst on the mat and being really emotional and saying things that he's probably not ought to be saying. But Savage too at the moment of the swap was the first one being like, this isn't good. Not liking this. It's a bad situation. I'm freaking out. Don't you think maybe just rein it in a little?
Right. No, that was bad. That was bad. What do you think about Varner talking about like I had an emotional outburst and I don't even remember it. I don't even remember it. Now, what do you think?
I think is I believe it.
Yeah. is that just some sort of like you do believe that he doesn't remember it, or is that just sort of like the kind of thing like it's just on the witness stand? It's like, boy, I must have done it, but I don't even remember that it happened. And it's almost like if I don't even remember that it happened, maybe it didn't even happen.
Right. That's why he's not explaining what he was mouthing over to the other side, what he was specifically saying. I think, I don't know. I feel like Varner, there could absolutely be an element of that. He's proven himself to be a shrewd player, if a little bit over aggressive. But I think that the other piece of it is he's really emotional. And we saw that from the very first episode of the season. We saw him saying midlife quest. This means a lot to me. 50 is a big year. When he's caught in the middle of the beach, people in the shelter, people old school, new school, what do I do? So his heart is on his sleeve in this game, for better or for worse.
He has no sleeves.
He has no sleeves. Well, he has them, but they're just not attached to the shirt. He's kept them. He's kept those sleeves. And maybe the heart is somewhere on there. But, he's playing with his heart out. You know, he's playing a game that's an emotionally vulnerable game. And, I mean, only someone like you or people who've played the game can really speak to the fact that this is a game that is going to be fraying your emotions to the core. I can only imagine. And a guy like Varner, who is already a really emotional guy, who's coming into Survivor after so many years away from the game, Not to say that like this was good stuff from Varner, but I buy that it was an emotional outburst. I do believe that there was a little bit of that blackout element to it. I think that this was Varner losing control. I think that it was Varner just being way emotional.
Yeah. For Jeff Varner, though, assuming that he makes it through these next couple of weeks, this is going to be, if you thought Jeff Varner was getting a lot of airtime in these first few episodes, wait until, you know, now we have Jeff Varner on the loser tribe now, that this is going to be the full-on narrator of what's going on here at Anchor.
It's great. And every episode he's proving why it sucks that it took so long to get Varner back. But the bottom line is we got Varner back.
We got
him. He's here and he has proven to everybody who voted him in why it was so great to have this guy on the show. He's been fantastic.
Okay.
This is from Logan Rex. I thought Steven was supposed to be good at puzzles.
Yes, can Steven for once step up and be the person doing the puzzle? I mean, how many people have been ahead of him? And is he never is like, hey, put me in. I mean, that Monica was ahead of Steven on the puzzle. We've seen Kimmy doing puzzles for that tribe. We've seen every other person at Bion. I mean, is this strategy of, boy, I don't want to expose my... tell me what you think. Is he thinking, boy, I don't want to be known as the puzzle guy. I don't want to be known as the threat. Let me never do anything, and people won't think I'm good at anything. Or is it just that if I go in there and I do bad, then they'll vote me off? But at some point, it kind of feels like, well, what are you bringing to the table?
Well, I don't know. I think that for Steven, you know, I could see that. I could see that argument of like going around to people. He's already got the baggage of being somebody who has studied Survivor so closely professionally over the past several years, writing the blog, being on this podcast. And he's got that target on his back from that stuff that maybe he could come to these people and be like, you know, guys, I actually suck at a lot of Survivor. Like, I'm not good at these puzzles. Don't throw me in. I could see a little bit of that. I could also absolutely see Steven being like, don't throw me in. I'm going to do terribly. And then it's going to give you guys a reason to vote me out. I could see both sides.
But don't you need to give people a reason to keep you? Also, like, I understand downplaying the threats, but at some point, don't you also need to give people an answer to the question? Well, what are you bringing to the table? Because we know he's good at this.
Yeah, I don't know that he needs to yet. You know, he was on Bayon with a group of people with Joey Amazing, who is just always your guy. You throw Joey Amazing. Even Joey Amazing can't resist it at this point. Joe is so good at these challenges and he's so great in the clutch position that he's always going to be the guy. So why not just keep Joe doing that thing? You're surrounded by other really strong players as well. Why step up when you have all these other people who are eager to step up, who are, when they're going to step up, are going to deliver? Why volunteer yourself for that when your best case scenario right now is to not go hang out with Jeff Probst at Tribal Council?
Well,
I wouldn't take the task too hard for this one.
Well, let me tell you the reason why I think you should be wanting to do it, because on the episode where I get voted out in Survivor All-Stars is the time that I am sitting out of a challenge and it comes down to a puzzle that I feel like I could have helped put that together. And at some point, don't you want to have your fate in your own hands and be part of that team? If you're saying that the best case scenario is avoiding Tribal Council and not going to see Jeff Probst, wouldn't you rather be yourself? If you know you can do puzzles, wouldn't you rather be in there over somebody who, I don't want to throw people under the bus in terms of saying that they're bad at puzzles.
Yeah, leave that to Wentworth. Yeah. That's Wentworth's job tonight.
Okay. But in terms of, like, don't you want to be the person controlling your destiny?
I think to a degree, but I think only, I think that that critique, I feel much more comfortable throwing that his way, maybe in the old Bayon where he was in trouble. But I think that he's looking at this new tribe. I don't think that he feels like he's in trouble. And I think that he feels like he's surrounded by really competent Survivor players in the challenges. I don't know. I don't feel like this is that big of a deal for Steven sitting out of these things.
Not a huge deal, but I feel like, you know, could he step up once? Could we see him in a puzzle?
Maybe once. I would love to see him in a puzzle.
Like
math
see him
problems.
Step up.
Yeah.
See him step
That'd
up.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. Robert Smith wants to know, at this point, what is the most important thing to vote for? Keeping the tribe strong, eliminating threats, or other, Josh?
Yeah. Well, you said your theory is that you think that people who are not going to be contributing in challenges or who are going to be, you know, weaker contributors in challenges, those are the people that you got to be worried about. But I want to kind of rephrase the question and throw it back at you. How long do you think the Three Tribes is going to last? Is this it till the merge? Are we in Three Tribes until the merge?
No, I talked about this with David Bloomberg on the podcast that we did about why the first two people, Shireen and Vitas, lost the game that we did earlier this week. My prediction is that I think it probably stays until I think that it's either the even number of. Is it 16? Is it 14? Is it 12? Right. I think that's where are we getting off the bus? Because we're not going to get off on an odd number. So my prediction was I felt like we'd stay on this three tribes until 14, probably two more episodes and maybe a double elimination in one of those episodes.
Right. So in that case, what do you think? Does it make more sense to keep your tribe strong if these tribes aren't going to be permanent? If these tribes are not going to be lasting for a shocking amount of time longer, do you think that it makes sense to be playing for the strongest team? Or do you continue with the pace that was set by voting out Vitas, by voting out Shireen, by voting out PG? Are you going after calculated people? Are you getting rid of those game threats at this point?
For me, I think it's a formula where you want to take out somebody who is not part of that solution for victory. Where I don't think you necessarily want to take out Joe. So you sort of say, okay, well, who are the available people that are not really a big part of us winning challenges? Also, then who's not in my alliance and who's a threat? I think it's all three of those things are under consideration right now. And I think for Savage and for Tasha tonight, they looked at it and said, okay, who's not helping us win challenges? Who's not in our alliance and who is a threat? And PG was the perfect storm of those three things tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. This is from Dylan Galt, who writes in, hey, Rob Cesternino, why don't survivors who found one clue look for an idol in every challenge?
Well, I think that this is another complicated thing where it is going to be, there's not always going to be the idol hidden in the challenge. Once you found it, you found it for your tribe. Kelly can't go and see, oh, I see that little thing over there that must be the idol for that. I'm going to go steal the Bion idol here. And also the idol is only there, I believe, is this confirmed that only if somebody finds the clue?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So that's the reason why we're not seeing more of that so
but
far.
But that's an interesting idea for Kelly Wentworth to just like be scoping out the entire challenge and be like, oh, there's a Bayon idol. And she just like bolts it across the challenge and grabs the idol. But I feel like I don't know if that would be fair game. And I also feel like that would be a bad idea to just like blow up the fact that idols are at challenges like that. I don't think that the juice is worth the squeeze, as Al Christie would say.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more questions here tonight with Josh. Zach Kennedy wants to know, would you suggest Varner's strategy of napping as a way to get the target off of his back after the immunity challenge? Yeah, what was going on there?
Was that a strategy?
It seemed like, okay, so here's Jeff Varner in the shelter.
I thought he blacked out. This is when he blacked out. He blacked out in the shelter and he was just unconscious for a few hours.
Is that what happened? I mean, was Jeff Varner just so physically diminished after the challenge that he just needed to go lie down? We also heard, I believe, from either Savage or from Tasha that Jeff Varner is sleeping most of the time on this tribe. So what do you think of Jeff Varner? Was this strategic? Is the game wearing on him in a way? I mean, he is 50 years old out there, and we've seen him have some physical issues with these challenges and falling down, and I'm not sure if it's his knees or what it is that he's really struggling with.
Yeah, but, well, he came into the, I forget the name of the disease, but he came into the game with problems with his lungs, and that was already a thing that he was dealing with. So physically, Varner was entering this game the weakest of the 10 men, I would say, physically. And I think that, yeah, absolutely, there's a lot of that physical wear and tear that you're starting to see on him. But I think another piece of it is, I think he came home from that challenge, from that big blow up at the mat. And I think he's like, well, I'm screwed. I'm effed. This sucks. And I don't think that he didn't hightail it into overdrive, because maybe there was a piece of him that's like, well, this is a lost cause. I may as well just, get a nap in on my last day.
I get the sense that it was not strategic. I get the sense that he really was not doing well. And, that his, like, I kind of believe what he was saying about how he was really spent. And that's really when you make, very questionable decisions, both in Survivor and in life, when you're tired. And that's when I think that he just needed to catch his breath. I really think that he was just hurting after that challenge. That was an intense challenge.
It was an intense challenge. And, he eventually does, the nap ends. He does start getting in those conversations again. Obviously, he's on the right side of the vote. The vote does not go his way. I think a lot of that is credit to the fact that Abby and PG start targeting each other. But what do you think? What did Varner do? Do you think Varner had to put in a lot of legwork to turn Abby back to his side? Or do you think that the show is making a bigger meal out of the fact that Abby was pissed with Varner? What's your take on that?
In terms of Abby being angry with him after the challenge?
Yeah, yeah. And saying, like, I want to vote out Varner. And obviously, we have that very quick scene of them in the shelters. Like, I'll do whatever you want to do, Abby.
I think it was just that once they said to Abby that there was an opportunity to vote off PG, I think that she completely forgot about him. I think that Abby Maria was driven by her spite towards PG. She was still mad at her. Over, but whether it was Bracelet Gate or whether it was the whole thing with Shireen from last week, we've seen three episodes of this show. We've seen two big dust-ups between PG and Abby Maria. And I think that when, once PG's head was on the chopping block, Abby Maria was like, Varner who?
Right, yeah, I think so a little bit. This is from the Zeddy Boy. From now on, do you think Wu will step up his game and start being more aggressive? He looks pissed off and tired of being blindsided. What do you think? Are we going to see the return of Weasel Wu? Are we going to see an aggressive Weasel Wu when we come back to Survivor next week?
I mean, I don't think we ever have ever seen an aggressive Wu. I think that Wu in the past, if we're going to look back to Survivor history and we're going to go back to Survivor Kagyan, what happened to Wu after the blindside of Cliff Robinson? What we saw then was that Wu went back and was like, okay, so we're all a team now, right? We're all, everybody in our group, we're all together, right? It's the five of us going forward, right?
Yeah.
And so Wu will regroup. Wu will go back to Andrew. He will go back to Tasha that he is, that Wu doesn't get down. He will go back and he will say to those people like, hey, Andrew, you know, you and I see the game the same way, you know, maybe that's giving him too much credit, but he is going to say, I'm Angkor strong. Let's do this.
Yeah, but you also, you know, in that situation back in Kagyan, he wasn't going back and there wasn't anyone who was angry with him. You know, there was the big Lindsay and Trish blow up, but there was no one angry at Wu. He was just on the wrong side of this thing. But you get the line from Abby Maria at this tribal council where, you know, PG gets her torch snuffed and Abby looks up at Wu and says, that's twice you voted for me.
So hold on. So you think that the bond between Abby Maria and Tasha is going to be stronger than the bond between Tasha and Wu? Tasha voted for Wu to win the game.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that Wu is going to have a much more emotionally volatile situation to go back to that's directed at him potentially.
But if things get too hot with Abby Maria, I think that that tribe between Savage and Tasha, I don't think that they are going to love that Abby Maria drama. And I could definitely see a situation where they get rid of Abby Maria before they get rid of Wu. I think that Wu is probably one of the safest people in that tribe.
Is there any chance that Wu, Abby, and Varner can pull this thing back together? Can they go back to Takeo strong, or is that a lost cause at this point?
I think that they can go. I think those three people could definitely vote together on that next vote. We've seen that Jeff has a way with Abby Maria. I think that Abby Maria is also very volatile, and she could, for whatever reason, she could get mad at Andrew. She could get mad at Tasha, and I think that those three could totally vote together as a block. I could also see Wu switching to go with Tasha and with Andrew. That Wu's game is like, okay, where do I go now? Where can I find shelter in the storm? You know, who will tell me what to do next? Oh, Tasha, I know you. You tell me what to do. I'm with you now.
Yeah. Feels like Angkor has to go back to Tribal Council just because it's so interesting, however it could shake out. It's just, I want to see it. I want to see what comes up next.
I would be beyond shocked if anybody else goes to Tribal next week.
Yeah. I agree.
All right. This last question. Okay. This is from Spicy Wasabi. Bring us home. Could Wigglesworth be in trouble because of the Varner message? What about on the other side of this?
Oh, man. Yeah. Is there going to be blowback on Kelly Wigglesworth? Well, you're saying she's already in trouble. And I mean, if you're looking at Bayon and Spencer is getting in good with Jeremy, he has a friend in Stephen Fishback. If he is, you know, if he's the Takeo that they're accepting, then you would think that Kelly Wigglesworth would already be in trouble. Can't imagine this helps her case.
I can't imagine it helps her case, but we don't know if she was signaling something to him. But I kind of feel like Kelly is going to be like, What was Varner doing? I have no idea. Like, I mean, I think that she could play dumb or really doesn't know what's going on. I kind of feel like that she doesn't have that reputation of being a schemey type person. And from what we've heard from Shireen, that she just never wanted to talk game with anybody. So I don't think that necessarily she's going to have that reputation of being a schemey person where it seems like she gets that sort of, you know, Bubba blowback onto her.
God, oh, you don't ever want to get that bubble.
No.
That is the worst kind of blowback.
A late contender for a hashtag. Also,
some Bubba blowback.
All right. Chat room, you start thinking of a hashtag, and then we'll just set up that, okay, tomorrow so much is going on, of course. Exit interviews galore with PG. So check that out. Follow Josh on Twitter, at Round Howard. And, of course, you can get his exit interview with PG. Josh is like second exit interview out.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, he's up there. So go to robiswebsite.com/parade to read Josh's exit interview, and he turns them around real quick. Plus, I'll talk to PG as well myself tomorrow morning on Rob Has a Podcast. And then Denise Stapley, really looking forward to that. And then voicemails with Antonio Mazzaro. Go to robhasawebsite.com, and you could subscribe to the podcast, robiswebsite.com/iTunes for all of that. So, Josh,
What's the chat room saying? Hashtag.
They like Anarchy Abbey.
Anarchy Abbey?
Yeah.
Okay. Sons of Anarchy Abbey?
I'm sure that there's a meme coming for that. All right. Okay, so let's go with Anarchy Abbey instead of Chaos Cast.
All right. Works for me.
All right. And then the chat room, sometimes they try to hijack the show. Like, I don't think we even said Anarchy Abbey. They make their own hashtag.
Let's go with some late game hashtag Bubba Blowback. I thought that was really good. I like that. Okay. I was also thinking Tribe Mitosis, but I don't know how the spelling is going to be.
Yeah, it's probably more nerdy than fun. But okay, yeah. that's what the hashtags are. We are looking forward also to getting your comments on robinswebsite.com. We've been getting so many comments on these know-it-all shows that I know that we had probably... it looked like over 600 comments about the show last week, and not just because of Eliza, because a lot of people really have a lot of things to say about these shows. So
significantly fewer F-bombs on this podcast this week.
And I love hearing from you guys in the comments on robinswebsite.com. All that I ask is just that you guys be civil to one another, hear everybody out. Don't be no flaming, no trolling, none of those things. Save that for other places that you can go. But all that I ask is that you have respect for one another in the chat room, and let's have an intelligent conversation about this podcast and about this show that we all love together. And we're all in this together.
That's right.
This is our family here.
This is a great family.
I'm like Tasha now.
You're like Tasha, or this kind of Savage's mantra as well.
Yeah, but I'm being upbeat.
Harmony.
Yeah. Okay. Whoa. All right. So, Josh, great stuff tonight. Very fun chat. Looking forward to talking about this all week long with you guys. And so much more coming up here on robhasawebsite.com. And also on post-show recaps, Josh and I are going to be getting ready to be covering The Walking Dead. Of course, we'll be doing a little bit of a preview live on Friday afternoon on blab.im. We'll be talking about The Walking Dead premiere, the Fear the Walking Dead finale, on our new scripted TV recap, Most Shows Recapped.
Yeah, very creative name on Post Shows Recapped.
Plus, Josh has a new podcast up covering the premiere of The Leftovers and much, much more. So check that out at postshowrecaps.com. Anything else, Josh?
No, I think you covered it, man. Long week for you. This is going to be a crazy episode to unpack over the days ahead. Can't wait for that Denise podcast.
Looking forward to it. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you on Thursday with all of our Survivor coverage kicking off on Robinson's podcast. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye. Survivor, no way to...